Well, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Meet the Expert. Wow, this is a totally different show right now because we are going to have Gus Kramer, the county tax assessor, on. I don't know if he's Darth Vader or he's an angel with wings. We'll find out very shortly on that. But he is the county tax assessor in Contra Costa County. That's the county where our office is located and where I live also. And I'm going to say he's not quite personally responsible for our taxes going up, but we'll discuss that too. The reason why we're discussing taxes today, we're getting into April 15th, but that's not what real estate tax is about. We're discussing it because on June 7th, there's an election here and he's running for office, obviously against somebody. We're not going to mention any names or take any sides, but he's running and he's been a county tax assessor in Contra Costa County since 1995. Which is the year my youngest son was born. So that's amazing. Just amazing how long he's been in office. So that good for him. So if you want to reach us today and, you know, taxes for business, taxes for individuals, we're talking about that because they affect every one of our clients. Everyone who talks to us has money going out the door. If you have less money going out the door because you're paying higher real estate taxes, you have less money for disposable income, less money to buy things, less money for luxury goods. It's a cascade of problems that could happen. And if you have lower taxes or control taxes, then you have more money in your pocket and you're probably going to use it in a way other than savings. It's not always true for everybody, but that's basically the rule of thumb with economics. So Gus, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me, Elliot. I take every opportunity I can to meet the public and educate folks as much as I can. So thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I know you've got a great personality. We'll get to that in a moment. If you want to reach me down the road, it's 925-314-8503. Email is Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at prosperityfinancialgroup.com. And the website is obviously www.prosperityfinancialgroup.com. And you could see countless episodes of Meet the Expert, this podcast that we've done in the past, with some of the most interesting people here around the country. So let's get to some questions. Can we do it, Gus? We'll do it in a question and answer format, if that's okay with you.
Certainly. While you're giving out phone numbers, anybody watching the show should write down the number of the assessor's office so they can do the same thing if they have a question. Area code 925-313-7400. And we have 8 or 9 public service clerks and appraisers ready to answer your questions. So feel free to do that.
Great. I'm going to put you on speed dial with a question and just keep repeating of how do I lower my real estate tax?
Okay.
That's top of mind for probably everybody who calls you. How do I lower it?
Sir.
So you've got a great background. You've been in a deputy coroner, which is dealing with dead bodies and kind of a CSI world from the body side, maybe not the investigation side. And now you're a county tax assessor. I don't know if the coroner and the assessor are related to each other, but I feel
they
like
are,
they're joking.
They are somewhere. Actually. My father was an old Will Rogers cowboy, and he said, if you always want to be employed, get a job dealing with death and taxes. And I took him literally, and he was right. So okay. Thank you.
So let's talk about real estate first as it relates to tax, and then what you do for a job and how you do it. But, sure. You know, property values in Northern California, Contra Costa County, and that's really, let's just talk about Contra Costa County, because it really is just a replication of the rest of the country. It's gone crazy in the last few years. Our house has basically doubled in the last 7 years. And COVID went crazy. I thought COVID market values would drop during COVID. They did the exact opposite here. There have been government moratoriums put out there on taxes. So tell me about property values going up, new buyers buying. California's got a tax of about 1.25% with some bonds. But prices going through the roof are becoming unaffordable to a lot of people. Tell me how that works here in Contra Costa County.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. You've actually stolen most of my thunder. That's exactly what's happened is they've become unaffordable to a segment of the population, but very affordable to others. People are bringing in huge amounts of money. The market that's hottest in this county is everything above $900,000 to $1 million and up is the hot market. 50% of those sales or purchases are cash. These people aren't even financing anymore. They're just walking in paid cash. And that really drives the markup up even higher. Below 900,000 is your more blue collar working area people, and they're struggling to get loans. It was easier when interest rates were lower, but as interest rates are pushing up between 4% and 5%, it's making it even more unaffordable for the average working Joe and Jane here in Contra Costa County. So it's almost like it's going to become a two-class system. You're going to have the working people, and they're going to have, you know, the people who have a lot more resources and are going to enjoy the house they want when they want it. So that's what we're getting. We're getting a lot of people moving here. A huge part of the purchase of these purchases since Prop 19, we'll get into that later, are coming from Alameda County. People in Alameda County have owned their house for a long time, have a lot of equity, big equity, and homes sell for more in Alameda County. And Santa Clara County are moving to Contra Costa, and they're pushing up the prices. It's as simple as that.
Wow. So let me ask a question along those lines of real estate tax. If I am a blue collar person, or I'm a normal person making, maybe between my wife and I, we make $100,000 to $150,000 a year. And we are just scratching by to get into this house that we want to move into. But the real estate taxes are just going to be too high because we're buying it at current market. Is there a way to go to the county, a way to go to your office and say, hey, can we have this assessed or lowered or something done to get a reprieve? Is there state legislation that would work in my favor?
There is nothing at the time. The only thing exists, the best friend you have is Prop 13. And every time I see something coming out to modify it, I hold my breath, because Prop 13 is an anti-inflation proposition. Your taxes can only go up 2% a year maximum. In some years, in the last 20 years, it's only gone up 1% or 1.3%, because that's all the inflation was. But it's going to go up 2% this year. So that's your inflation factor. The only other time the value can go down is if there's a hiccup in the market, like there was during the recession from 2008 through 2013, we lowered almost 200,000 people's properties significantly during that period. But they do come back. We had to raise them back up as the market recovered. So that's the only relief you're really going to get. California does not have a special exemption for senior citizens like many other states have. We do have a homeowner's exemption of $7,000, which means that saves you 1% of that, $70 a year. That was a big deal in 1978, but today it's a nothing burger. It's nothing. Myself and the assessor from Los Angeles County and about 8 other counties are working with a group through Jarvis Gann and another group on increasing the homeowner's exemption to at least $100,000. So you'd get another savings of about $1,000 a year on your house if you lived in it. That's the best that I can offer that I see coming down the tracks for homeowners for tax relief, unless there's a huge recession again and houses go down in value. But quite frankly, I don't see that happening in the next 4 or 5 years. There's too much demand. There's not enough houses for the existing population in California, especially the Bay Area. And there's definitely not enough houses for the people who want to buy them. There's just too much competition.
So let me go back to Prop 13 that you just brought up, Gus, because I know that some of the powers that be in Sacramento want to get rid of that. In most counties, and I come from New Jersey, it's on my county, and I lived in several counties in New Jersey, you pay taxes to the county, just like we do here. And then a county uses that and doles it back out for education. But yep. Here we don't do that. Here it goes to the state, basically, for education. And the state doles it back out. And it holds strings, ransom strings, basically, to every town, every city, every county that yes. They'll do it the state way, or you're not going to get the money, and we're going to put you in default. And so what's going on with that? I know we have that 1% tax, or you have some bonds, so maybe 1.5% at the end of the day of the original value. And then it's gone up. But it's really right. Not going to education like it was designed to be. It's kind of like lottery tickets. They never really work the way they're supposed to.
Well, it is now. I would say in almost every community in Contra Costa County, about 50 cents on the dollar, 50 cents for every dollar you pay in taxes goes to local schools. It truly does. The rest is carved up between the cities, the counties, the special districts. And those were all kind of established when Prop 13 passed in 1978 and hasn't changed. So, and they haven't changed a lot. They're now everybody's, most of the communities in Contra Costa have voted themselves, you know, special police district, special fire district, special sanitary water district. And they taxed themselves. That was self-imposed. But the original formula under Prop 13 is pretty close to what it was in 1978. Truly is. And so again, go ahead.
As a former mayor of Lafayette, as I reside in Lafayette, California, said that she felt the city of Lafayette was being held hostage by the state to build more affordable housing or senior housing, or the state would not grant them the education money that was paid for by the county citizens.
I can't speak to that, but I'm not surprised. I'm not privileged that information, but I believe them. I do. State does that. They're imposing this affordable housing element on all the cities. But you got to remember too, Lafayette, Danville, I'm trying to think of the other, Orinda. There were a few towns that were not incorporated in 1978, and or when they were incorporated, the only way they could get the people to vote for the incorporation was to say, we're going to be a no-tax city. And they did that. And for years, they didn't receive any property tax from the taxes generated. It wasn't until many years later the state recognized that there were a lot of these cities in the state, and they finally gave some of the money. But I am not surprised that the state does that. The state wants to be the overseer of all development in the state, and they want to be the overseer of all of affordable development. Remember one thing about affordable development. There's a project in Lafayette going on right now. It's condominiums. And they're building, I think, 103 units or something. And they have to have, I think it's 4 units or 5 units have to be low income. And then 2 units have to be extremely low income. Well, guess what low income is for Lafayette? That's about $86,000 a year. That's what they consider low income for Lafayette. And extremely low income, low income for Lafayette is about, I think it's between 56 and 60,000 in there, somewhere in there. So it's not as low as you'd think. It's low, but it's not as low as you'd think.
Well, so you also collect taxes on commercial properties.
We appraise property. We appraise everything in the county that's real property. And we do appraise a lot of business equipment. That's a very small portion of our staff, but it's what we do. We don't collect any money. They don't trust me with the money. They know if they gave me a couple billion dollars, I'd probably go to Barbados with it. But seriously, the tax collector actually collects the money. The county has a elected tax collector treasurer who actually sends out the bills and collects the money and then gives it to the auditor controller who tells him how to print his bills and where the money goes. So we don't ever see the money. We don't touch it. We just talk about values. That's all we do in the assessor's office.
Right. Well, we're talking with Gus Kramer, who's the Contra Costa County tax assessor. Kind of an interesting job. And how does somebody want this job? Why would you want this job?
I worked for Public Works for 15 years and did appraisals for them. And I acquired land for the county, the flood control district, the county highway 4. And it was really a fun job. If I was a real estate agent before that, and I enjoyed that aspect of the work. I got into the appraisal part of it and the acquisition part. And I was at a point in my life, I was 44 years old, and I decided that I'd already been in elected office. I was a city clerk of Martinez, which was a kind of a part-time job. And someone said, you should run for assessor. You'd enjoy it. You'd be good working with people who have problems with their property taxes. So I did, and I won.
You seem like an affable, friendly, competent person, but you have to run for re-election, and I know you're running against somebody.
Yeah.
So as somebody who votes, and I vote by mail most of the time,
sure.
How would I know to vote against you when you seem likable? And I'm assuming you've been there, you know, 20 years, 20 plus years. You're fairly competent at what you do here.
Thank you. I stand on my record. I literally stand on my record. I want the assessor's office. I've made the assessor's office to be one of the most user-friendly offices in the county. I mean, when you call our office, you get a live person on the phone. You don't get, you know, a phone tree that sends you off in the netherland. And our people are trained to help people. I when I speak to large groups, senior citizen groups or real estate groups, I encourage them, either they or their clients, please call the office if you have any questions. We're not going to take the information used against you. We just don't do that. We're there to help you, not hinder you. We get a lot of people call the office when they're adding on to their home or they're remodeling their kitchen and they're worried about getting reassessed because they took out the old Formica countertop and they're putting in, quartz or something, or granite. And I tell them, when you remodel, you do like you do any other construction project. You document everything. So when you pull out that shower pan, you pull out that old cabinet and there's water damage behind it, or there's termites behind it, or there's signs of mice or rats or something that done damage, take pictures of it. Then you have an excuse for repairing what you did and you had to tear it out to get to it. So instead of assessing you the full value of whatever it costs you to do the improvement, you have an excuse for doing it. So it was maintenance. It was deferred maintenance. I want people to understand that's acceptable reason not to be appraised higher, that you were doing deferred maintenance.
So deferred maintenance is really the unknown key here, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. You can't. If you tear out your countertop to do fix some water damage from a leaky pipe or a leaky sink, that's not accessible. You're doing repairs. We try and tell people that. It's hard for people to grasp that because we've been taught all our lives, even through cartoons as kids, you know, that the tax collector, it was usually the character, was a bad person and there to take your money and assess everything you have. And it's quite the contrary. I'd like to think that we're here to help people and teach them how to avoid new taxes rather than pay more. There's enough people. Elliot, in all due respect, there are so many people buying new houses and the houses are jumping from where they were, you know, when their old Prop 13 base to their new value. There's plenty of money coming in from those new sales. For us to be wasting time chasing people who are fixing up their homes, it discourages them, number one. I don't want to do that.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the cartoons. And I kind of remember the Monopoly board. I think the fourth square after start was pay income tax. And the yellow cards, there was a county tax assessor card. You have to pay a tax on that too. Even as a kid, nobody wanted to land on those two on that square or get that card.
It's true. It's been hardwired into us over the years.
Yeah. What is Prop 19?
Prop 19 passed about a year and a half ago, and it's very interesting. It actually has been a windfall for the county. Up until it passed, you could only sell your house. If you were 55 years or older, you could sell your home in like you in Lafayette, and you've had your home for a long time. So you have a low Prop 13 base underneath it. So you could sell your home in Lafayette and buy a house in Antioch for a third the price and take your Prop 13 base with you out to Antioch or Walnut Creek or Pleasant Hill, wherever you wanted to move. And you can only do it within the county, and that's if you bought equal or down. Now, under Prop 19, you can move to any county in the state of California, take your Prop 13 base with you, and you can buy up. So if you owned a house in Walnut Creek and you sold it for $1 million and you wanted to buy a house in El Dorado Hills for $1.3 million, You could take your old Prop 13 base with you, and the first $1 million would be your old base from Walnut Creek, and then you'd pay 1% on whatever was over that. So it allows you the flexibility to move anywhere and buy whatever you want and not be hamstrung, if you will, by the economics of some property taxes. You'll pay more. If you buy up, you pay more. If you buy down, you pay the same. So it's kind of nice.
And you can only do that once in your lifetime?
No, you can do it three times.
Okay, that's
you can do it three times.
That's a misnomer.
Yeah, and there's an argument now that if you're married, you can do it six times because you each do it one time. So I can't imagine somebody moving that many times after they're 55. The average age of a person moving under this proposition, the average age is 72. So most people move once, maybe twice. And then if they really have a medical issue, there's a Prop 110 that nobody ever hears about. And all you have to do is have your doctor sign a letter saying, I need you to move somewhere in a one-story house. And you get to take it with you anyway. So your Prop 13 base with you. So there's lots of caveats to these rules. But the Prop 19 has been a windfall for Contra Costa. We've had almost three times as many people move here, bringing their tax bases from Alameda mostly, Santa Clara, San Mateo, San Francisco, moving to Contra Costa. We've had three times as many of those as the people leaving Contra Costa to go elsewhere. And the main reason they give us, we've asked these questions because we had so many apply when it first happened. And we're still having applications come in. The reason most of them give for coming to Contra Costa is their children moved here a long time ago and they want to be closer to their children and their grandkids. Natural. It's natural.
Well, speaking of children, Gus, if I'm living in my house for a long time and I'm getting to that age that I need to think about living somewhere else, downsizing, but I don't want to sell my house. I've got some adult children that would love to buy it, but they can't afford it. You know, that they've been priced out also. What's the magic to sell it to my family?
If you want to sell it, you can give the house to your kid. You don't have to sell it to him. You can give it to him. You can carry back a note. You can transfer it by any legal instrument and any combination of legal instruments to your child. And they can live in your home. They're going to, under Prop 19, they're going to have to live there. They're going to have to put a homeowner's exemption on it, and they're going to have to live there to enjoy your low property tax base. Now, that means you're going to have to subsidize it. Or carry paper if necessary.
And if there's a mortgage on there, they have to get their own mortgage, or can I just continue my mortgage with them?
No. There's the banks. You'll see in your mortgage, there's an acceleration clause, I'm sure. I've never seen one without one. That says if you sell this property, you have to pay off this loan. If you sell it to your child, it should be exempt by law. But you can, if you passed away, your child could take over that loan. There's nothing the bank could do about it unless you're in arrears. But if you have a low mortgage and there's plenty of equity in the house and you let your child assume your loan, so to speak, the bank technically has to show that their equity has been compromised or is at risk in order to exercise the acceleration clause. They can't just say, "Oh, you're selling it to your kid. We want you to pay off the loan and refinance this." Now, if you sell it to a third party, it's not related to you. The courts have upheld the acceleration clause to keep people from assuming low interest mortgages to third parties. But if it's family, it's pretty hard pressed for the banks to exercise the acceleration clause.
And Gus, when I'm selling my house and I'm above age 55, I get an exemption for my federal exemption of $250, or we get a $500,000 exemption. Can that be used more often than once?
I don't know. You know what? I would ask your CPA because someone just asked me that. I think they can use it. I think you could do it I thought it was every 2 years you could do it, but someone reminded me recently they changed it to once every 5 years. So I would check with your CPA on that one. That's a good question.
Because there used to be a law, we're talking with Gus Kramer, the county tax assessor here on Meet the Expert. There used to be a law that said that if I reinvested the money, I wouldn't have to pay any gains if I was over 55 or 65.
Right.
And that law is done. People mistake that. That's over, correct? It's only 250 and 500 now.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's good. So you got an election coming up. I don't understand. What's the platform for electing you? And what's the platform for your opposition for having them elected? What is a county assessor's platform?
Well, I'm not going to go with her platform because it's pretty weak. It's pretty weak. She has no experience. She's never done an appraisal in her life, so it's kind of interesting. It's all very political. My platform is you know what you get. You'll get what you have had for the last 25 years, and you'll get public service that you've never had, you've never seen before in this county, in the assessor's office, and you'll see better office hours. We opened up the office to be open more. During COVID, we made sure we had somebody answering the phone calls and answering emails because, you know, life didn't stop. It just got twisted a little bit during COVID. During COVID, a lot of businesses suffered. They lost, you know, big restaurants went out of business, and other small businesses, hair salons, stuff like that went out of business, or their business was hurt because of lack of ghost receipts. And we've encouraged those people to let us know, show us their spreadsheet, show us their bottom line, and demonstrate to us that they did significantly less business. And we can give them a reduction on their small business taxes they pay on their equipment and or their property. If their property income went down, they're entitled to some relief. And it's amazing. I thought there'd be more people applying. But there haven't been. We've received maybe half the applications for that I think are eligible. But I can't make people apply for a reduction.
And not to count your chickens before they're hatched here, but I'm assuming, like it is across the country, once an incumbent gets in, it's very hard to knock out an incumbent unless there's some type of fraud or mismanagement or scandal or something like that. Most people check the box for incumbent. Your name's been there for a while. You've been a public servant now since 1980 in some form. This is my math. I think that's 45 years. Yeah. You don't look old enough to be doing this for 45 years. So in public service.
I think I was 12 when I started. Thank you very much. No, I was. Thank you. No, I've always been in public service. I worked in the private sector for a while in the funeral business of all places. And that's how I got into the coroner's office, because the chief medical examiner recruited me to come to work for him. And I did. And it was an interesting job. It was a very interesting job, but things happened and my interests changed and I got into real estate. And ergo, I am here now. So
no, I think it's exciting what you're doing. So I'm going to remind everybody that there's an election. It's a statewide election, correct?
It's a statewide election. Every county in the state will be having an election for the sheriff, the district attorney, the assessor, the tax collector, the auditor controller, and the clerk recorder.
And this is a four-year deal?
All 58 counties.
And it's a four-year deal? Two-year deal?
All four-year terms, yes.
Wow. Well, good luck with that. And Gus, as we wrap this up now, and I really appreciate your time here, and I know for most people, they never get the opportunity to talk to a tax person ever. So it's exciting. And thanks for showing some personality and not being one of many people in county government too. You know, they're about as exciting as their shoelace.
Well, thank you very much. That's a high compliment. And I encourage people, don't be bashful. Call our office. If you have a question, just call. The clerks will walk you through it. And if they don't have the answer for you immediately, they'll find an answer for you. That's our job. We work for you. So just as long as you remember that, we're all good.
And what's your number again?
Number is 925-313-7400. Great. That's our public service line. And if you want to find me, I'm in the phone book. Those of you who remember what a phone book is, my home number is still in the phone book. So you can call me anytime you want.
All right. I'm going to hope that you don't get phone calls from this, but whatever.
I do. I do all the time. It's okay.
Anyway, we've been talking with Gus Kramer on Meet the Expert. If you want to reach me and you've got questions, first, if you want to reach Gus and you want to go through me, I'm at Elliot, ELLIOT, at prosperityfinancialgroup.com. 925-314-8503. And it's www.prosperityfinancialgroup.com. We've been talking with a tax assessor who hopes to be the next successor of himself, his own job, in the election coming up on June 7th. And he's got 40 plus years in public experience. I'm certainly not endorsing him, and I'm not endorsing him, but he's in front of me, and I congratulate him, because I have to say, since he's an incumbent, I'm like most Americans, I voted for the incumbent before even meeting you. So you've had my vote. Now, look at that. We've met.
Thank you, Elliot. And I want to thank your listening audience for giving us their time, too. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And our friend Christine Dean, who brought us together on her birthday, which was wonderful, who used to run the coroner's office at some point. And
well, Chris was my partner. You know that.
Yes. So there you go. So you're talking about people that deal with dead bodies and now they collect the taxes. I know there's a joke here. I know that. So have a great day, everybody. Come reach out to us. Come call Gus if you have a question about your own taxes in a county. And you know something, if you live in a different county, even if you live in a different state and you just got a general question, I think Gus has shown that he's more than available to answer your question. And we'll see you again on Meet the Expert. Have a great day, everyone.